So now we've finished all the tangents. We're going back to the Iker story that we're talking about over here. So the last thing we spoke about that has to do with the Iker story was at the end of Perek Lamed. We spoke about in Perek Lamed Beis that Yaakov Avinu quote unquote stole the brachas from Esav. And he got the brachos, and then basically he had to run away, right? And it says when he left, he was going with a crown like a chosen or whatever, and he got the brachos from Yaakov from Yitzchak, and he had to run away. And then we went on a whole tangent because in the Pesukim, in the beginning of Parshas told us, so it says that Yitzchak planted in that land, and he got 100 times what he planted, more than he expected to get planted. So it says that he gave tzedakah, and then from that we said, oh, tzedakah brings tchisim esim, and we went into a whole tangent about tchisim esim and death and the neshamas and all those different things. And now we're going back to the Iker story about Yaakov Avinu getting the brachas and running away. And then the Medrash will talk about two other stories that actually happened before this that have to do with Yaakov Avinu. It's going to backtrack and then continue on with Yaakov Avinu anyway. Which is interesting, I looked in the critical edition, the Higra edition of the Pirkei d'Eliezer, and in this perek, there's tons of stuff missing in the early Kisvei Yad, and this perek is really much shorter than the Kisvei Yad. But here we have things that are added, much more things that are added here that aren't in the Kisvei Yad. But that's what we have. Okay. So let's start. Perek Lamed. Toiv achris dovar mireishisoi. This is a pasuk in Keheles. The Keheles, Shlomo Malach says, Toiv achris dovar mireishisoi. The end of a matter is better than the beginning. What does it mean the end of the matter is better than the beginning? Why don't you get really chumash? You know, chumash? So we can see these things better. Well, that's better. The thing is right there. Okay. In the Chumash in Parshas Toldos, so Yaakov even gets the brachas from Yitzchok, and then he runs away. And at the end of the Parsha, he goes back to his father. And Rivka tells Yitzchok, I don't want Yaakov to end up marrying someone from Bnei Ches, right? So Yaakov, Yitzchak calls Yaakov and says, come here. He tells him, I don't want you to go marry someone from Canaan. And he gives him another bracha. And he says, go to my father, Kum Lech Padena Aram. You should go there, to the house of Besuel, and then marry someone from over there. And it says, V'yitim l'cha, it says, V'kel shaka yivorech, Yitzchak v'yafrecha v'yarbecha. Hashem is going to give you a bracha, and you're going to be fruitful, multiply, V'yitzchak al amim. Going to be a congregation of people. V'yitim l'cha is birkas Avram. Hashem is going to give you the blessing of Avram. L'chol zarecha itoch. To you and to your descendants after, with you, the Rishachas Arts Begorach Hashem and Sandal Kim Avram, to inherit the land of that you're living in that Hashem is going to give to, that Hashem gave to Avram. Right? So that's a bracha that, besides the original brachas that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov Avinu, at the end of the parashas told us he gave him other brachas right before Yaakov Avinu left. So the Medrash says this: Habrachas Harishoinais Sheberach Yitzchak LiYaakov. The original brachas that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov Avinu, the ones that he stole from Esav, Al Talalei Shomayim, Yaldogon Oretz. Those brachas were about the dew of the heavens and the produce or the grain of the land. Shinamar says the pasuk, V'itilachol Lekimi Tal Shomayim, like we spoke about earlier in Perek Lamed Beis, we went through the brachas and explained all the different elements of the bracha that Yitzchak originally gave Yaakov, but they all had to do with the physical things of the land and the fat of the land and the dew, etc. But habrachas achroinos, birchas yisrael, the latter brachas that he got at the end of the parsha are birchas yisrael olam. They're blessings that have to do with the foundation of the world. And they never have any cessation, not in this world and not in the next world. Those brachas are everlasting. Right? It's not bound to Olam Hazeh. It's something that's beyond Olam Hazeh. Shinamar says the puzzle of Kel Shakai Yivarech Yischa. Hashem is going to bless you. And that's talking about V'yafrecha V'yarbecha. You're going to have a lot of children multiply. V'yisrael Kal Amim. V'ayin ha'isiv le'ez birkas Avram. And also, Yitzhak added in the second brachas, the bracha of Avram. Shnei ar v'yitin l'chol ez birkas Avram l'chol zaracha itoch. So from here you see that the end of the matter is better than the beginning of the matter. The first brachas that Hashem gave Yitzchak gave to Yaakov were confined to Olam Hazeh. They had to do with the physical growth and agriculture. And the second brachas, that was more chashuv. It has to do with priya revia, and it has to do with birkas Avram, which are everlasting. So that was the latter brachas were greater than the former brachas.
Can you explain how the Kil Shakai Yivarech Oscha is referring not only to Olam Hazeh but also to Olam Haba? Why is
I'm
it
not sure.
Quoting
I'm
this?
Not, yeah, I don't know.
Does that have something to do with the
shame of Shakai?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that the Mufarshim say that the shame of Shakai. The Rikanti in Parshas Lach Lecha says that the shame of Shakai has to do specifically with Priya Urevia.
Because I think Rashi saying Shakai has to do with that there will be enough. Meaning you'll be fed well, you'll have everything in Olam Hazeh. Dafka, sounds like.
But yeah, I don't know.
Here it seems like a hefech, that it's
everything.
Including Olam Haba.
I mean, the context is V'kel Shakai Yivarech Yisrael V'yafrecha V'yarbecha. It's talking about Priya Revia.
In that particular instance. Yeah.
So it's talking about having more children. So more children is something maybe that I don't know.
It transcends Islands and Olam Haba. Which is interesting because then the next one is Va'od Hosi Flo as
Birkas
Avram, which is Kochvei HaShemayim Labrov, which is.
But it's not just
Priya Revia.
It's not just that. It's also. The getting the land of Eretz Yisrael and everything. The Eschol of the Godol, the Sparkle of Zarecha, all those brachas.
But it's well known that Abraham's bracha was there will be a lot of Jews,
like the stars,
as opposed to Yitzhak that didn't get it.
Right.
He was Afar Aretz or something.
Right. Okay, let's go later. The next pasuk in Keheles. So this isn't in the, this like whole shtickle over here is not in the manuscript of Pirkei Eliezer.
Manuscript.
I'm saying the what I was saying before the Higger edition.
The Higger.
But this it stops over here and then whatever. Okay. But the manuscript over here darshins the next pasuk in Kailas. Tov erech apayim migvar ruach. It's greater or better to have erech apayim, slow to anger, than to have gvar ruach, than to be haughty. So the Medrash is going to understand that pasuk means to contrast Yaakov Avinu to Esav, and we have to explain what exactly it means. Dover ze Omer Yaakov Avinu. This thing Yaakov Avinu said. So the Radal and the Bais HaGadol slightly changed the girsa. Not Omer Yaakov Avinu, not that he said it, but Amur be Yaakov Avinu. It's said about Yaakov Avinu, or Nemar Keneged Yaakovinu. That's the Bais HaGadol says Nemar Keneged Yaakovinu. It's said about Yaakov. It's said Keneged corresponds to Yaakov Avinu. Right? Not that he said this, but rather that this is talking about Yaakov Avinu. Marzu says no. It means that he said it, meaning he was saying that this is the way you should act. That Yaakovinu would tell people like this is the proper way of acting. What does that mean? Shebuchol Yoyim V'Yoyim. Every day Hayamarich Es Ruchay. Yaakovinu would lengthen his spirit, meaning he would be slow to anger and make himself calm. Va'omer kol divrei fanagiyos, and Yaakovinu would say all types of words of fanagiyos. What in the world are fanagiyos? We'll get to it in a moment. Well, we could say that pashup shat fanagiyos means he would say nice things, divrei ritzu, good things, nice things, you know, pleasant things. You could say it like that. Okay, so we said that it's better to be toiv erech apayim, to be slow to anger, than gvar ruach. What's the gvar ruach? Migvar ruach ze Esav Arasha. The term gvar ruach is referring to Esav, the wicked man. Why? What did Esav do? Shebuchol yom v'yom, he every day hayo eichel mitzedoi. He would eat from his game. He would go hunting and eat from his own game. He got this ruchoy loy hayo neisen mimacholoy liyakov meuma. And because of his great haughtiness, he wouldn't give to Yaakov Avinu from any of his foods anything. He wouldn't give a morsel to Yaakov Avinu, he wouldn't give. So what's happening over here in the Medrash? So Rabbi Yomi Izmir explains like this. Pnogios, as I said before, Pnogios is like divrei ritzui. He has a different gear, so pugios, not Pnogios. Mm-hmm. Pugios, that Yaakov Avinu would say divrei ritzui, meaning nice things, words of appeasement, meaning like this. Rabbi Yomi Izmir explains that Yaakov Avinu recognized that everything that comes to him in this world comes directly from Hashem. So Yaakov Avinu, every time he would get a meal, or he would get something good in this world, so he would be scared that maybe Hashem is using up his zchuyos for Olam Hazeh, for Olam Haba, in Olam Hazeh, and he would be scared of that. So every time something good would happen to Yaakov Avinu, he would say divrei pugios upiusim, words of appeasement, the nice things to Hashem, to try to get Hashem to, like, you know, not take it, not subtract it from his account. That was what Yaakov Avinu would do. On the other hand, Esav would do the exact opposite. Esav was very haughty. And what Esav would do is every single day he would go out and he would say, look, I don't need Hashem. I'll just go and hunt and eat my own food. And therefore I'm not eating anything from Hashem. Hashem's not helping me. I'm doing it all by myself. And we're going to see that Hashem wanted to teach him a lesson. So what's going to happen is that one time he's going to go hunting and he's not going to be successful and he's not going to get anything. Rabbi Yom Ezra says that it could be because it used to be that every day Esav would go out and use the clothing from Adam Rishon, which would make the animals automatically docile and easy to capture. But that one day he didn't bring it, so Hashem was trying to show him that, like, you know, you don't really have such powers. It's just really, I'm helping you out. Today I'm not helping you out, and you should realize it. He's not going to realize it. But that's one way of understanding what's going to happen over here with Esav. Another nukud that Rabbi Yomi Izmir says is that what it means that Esav was haughty and he didn't give any food to Yaakov Avinu is because he thought that everything is coming from himself. So like, why should I give to somebody else? Like that according to the first pshat. According to the second pshat, he's saying that Esav was so haughty that he wanted, if you want me to give you food to Yaakov, you know, he'll say, so go beg me. You should pray to me and beg me to give you food, and then I'll give you something to eat. But Yaakov, you know, never stooped that low to go beg Esav to give him food. So Esav never gave him anything. That's the haughtiness stopped Esav from giving him food because he wanted to be, you know, he wanted to be the object of Yaakov Avinu's prayers.
But Yaakov kept sheep, we know, kept animals.
Yeah.
Esav, I guess, didn't. He went to hunt animals. So why would Yaakov want his meat? What?
I don't know. Yaakov was a shepherd. I mean, well, first of all, it's not so posh that that's what it means. It says, Yaakov ish tam yeshiv aholim. He lived in a tent. So one explanation of tent is that means that he was a shepherd. I think we said that in
the but also we know that he went to get two, what was it?
Two gdei izim
to feed his father. So they were there. They were there. And that's what the avos were. All the avos were.
Right, it says that Yaakov was a shepherd.
The avos were people. And when they went down to Mitzrayim, he told Pharaoh to tell them they were shepherds.
Right.
So he was a shepherd.
I don't know if Yaakov himself was a shepherd, but also a shepherd doesn't mean that you have unlimited access to meat.
Why not?
Because the point of being a shepherd is to keep them alive.
That you'll eventually eat some of them.
Maybe to eat some of them.
You
maybe
don't just keep them. You could sell them to other people who eat them.
To sell them or to get the milk or whatever. It depends exactly what the point is. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can just every single day you're gonna have beef for dinner.
No, but. So. And he didn't need to beg Esav for the meat. He could have taken.
If he really wanted to have meat, he could. Well, I'm saying on a daily basis. That's not a nahaga.
No, but what I'm saying. Okay, now I'll get to my point. I think very interesting that Esav's haughtiness was that he didn't need to easily keep animals in a pen. He went out to think he himself could get meat. Yaakov was a shepherd. That's the easy way. It's always there for you.
Right.
So he knew he's going to rely on Hashem that everything will. And Esav thought, I don't need Hashem. I'll go out and get myself.
I mean, this sort of brings us to the next point. The Radal, he slightly changes the girsa. He's, I guess, bothered by the fact that he doesn't know what the word pnogios means. And he says, first of all, maybe he'll say that, change the gears to say that Yaakov Avinu b'chol yom v'yom ha'yamarech esruchoi v'oimer kol dvorov b'nachas. He would say all his words b'nachas. Instead of Pinocchio, he says, it changes it to dvorov b'nachas. Instead of divrei Pinocchio, it's dvorov b'nachas. But then he says, then the Radal says, no, that can't be the pshat in the Medrash over here. Because the continuation of the Medrash is, on the other hand, Esav, he would go hunting and he would eat his own stuff and he wouldn't give any food to Yaakov Avinu. So he says that the contrast sounds like we're talking about, when we're talking about Yaakov Avinu also, we're also talking about something that has to do with food. Not talking about the way he speaks, that he speaks nicely, but it has to do something with food. So the Radal changes the gears even more. He wants to change it like this. He says that, I should say that b'chol yom yom hayamarech esruchoi v'oichel kol divrei pnogyos. The Yaakov Avinu would eat divrei pnogyos, right? And we're talking about the we're praising Yaakov Avinu for the way he would eat. He would eat divrei pnogyos. So what are divrei pnogyos? So the Radal is a very very creative pshat over here. It says that pnogyos are, he wants to say, are what's it called? Mushrooms. Why? But is there another? Who is this? Who wrote that?
I don't know, but it's after the Radal.
After the Radal.
They bring the Radal. Then he wrote, Min Paga.
Okay, one second. So he says that it means mushrooms. Why? Because he says that mushrooms are... What are mushrooms? What do I have in common with what do I have in common with the mushrooms? I'm a fungi. So mushrooms are fungus or fungi in plural. So fungi. So the Radal says that fnogiyos is fungi. So Yaakov Avinu would eat kol divrei fnogiyos. He would eat all kinds of fungi that were growing in the ground. Because first of all, those are foods that are not considered like chashuv foods. You don't have to be like an important person to eat such a food. Commoners eat such food. That's one nakuda. The second nakuda is that it's free or very cheap. So because of that, Yaakov Avinu was like he was more edel. He was more like refined. He wasn't looking for like the best type of food or whatever. He would eat like the more simple things, and he would go and eat mushrooms. That's what Yaakov Avinu would eat. While on the other hand, Esav was such a balkeva, he was so haughty, he would go and dafka have meat every single day. He would dafka go and shecht and whatever and hunt and get meat. And that's the one of the contrast over here. And you're saying over here in the bottom of your Pinkei Eliezer, it says that pnogyos is like paga, which means boisa, which is undeveloped grapes. Okay, why would Yaakov eat like
undeveloped?
No, it doesn't mean...
Just picking grapes, no? That's the word for picking
grapes. Boiser?
Yeah. Doesn't that mean that's the word for picking grapes, isn't it?
But isn't it also a stage in the development of grape?
Could be, I don't remember.
Boiser? I think it's an early
that's
stage.
That's a word used in Torah to pick grapes, I believe.
Could be, but I also think that the Gemara uses it to mean like a stage of development. Who boiser, who goro, who pulava, no? In the sixth pack in Bachas. I don't know, that's an interesting... Okay, I know, he says it means grapes, but... Pagi... I'm not sure. Fine. Okay, so what's the story? What happens with Yaakov and Esav? So this is, of course, backtracking, because we were already holding after Yaakov Avinu got the brachas, but this story is going to sort of backtrack to when Yaakov Avinu got the bechorah from Esav. Okay, so what's the story? Pavachas yotzo lotzu tzayid v'le'olso b'yadei. One time, Esav went out to go hunting, and like also the other, he was not successful in his hunting. And he saw that Yaakov was eating lentils. And he desired those lentils in his heart. He was very hungry. He wasn't successful in his work. So he needed something to eat. He said to Yaakov, pour for me from this red, red thing. He asked, no either means please, which when we're talking about Esav, probably it doesn't mean please, so rather it means now. Now, give me some of that red stuff, right? They say, give me some of that red stuff right now. Omer lo Yaakov, Yaakov said to him, Adoyim yotzosem mi'ei imcha, you came out of the womb of your mother red, u'maychol adoyim chamadet alechel, and you desired to eat red foods. Alkein karash my Edom. That's why his name is Edom. The Pasuk says, because Esav said to Yaakov Avinu, give me from this red foods, therefore his name is Edom. Right? So the Medrash over here is adding, it's not just Stam because he said, give me from the red foods. It also has to do with the fact that he was born red. He was born red and he said, give me from the red foods. So therefore his name is Edom. That's his real name or his Iker name was really Esav. So the Bali Musar say, what's the meaning of the name Esav? Where is it, what does that mean, Esav? So they say that Esav comes from the word Osui. It's made. Esav is already, he's a self-made man. He was born, he was already hairy. He didn't have to like grow, wait till he hit puberty to start growing hair. He was already made. He didn't have to work on himself. He didn't have to grow. He was made. He was born, he was already mature. That's Esav. It's Osui. He's already made. So one time, many years ago, my wife asked me that if you ever had red lentils. So when you make red lentils, so they're red when they're raw, but when you cook them, they're no longer red. Mm. So the question is, so when Yaakovin was cooking these lentils, right? So they're not going to be red. So why is he asking? Why is he saying to Yaakovin, give me the red stuff? It's not red. If Yaakovin was cooking the lentils, it's not red. It's going to be already like some like clearish, yellowish type of thing. Lentils aren't red. They're only red when they're raw. So I looked from the Farshim about this, and I think it was the Chassam Sefer. I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it was the Chassam Sefer. I couldn't find that afterwards, a few years later when I was looking for it again. But I think it was the Chassam Sefer that says this. That yeah, in a Chanami, Esav didn't he wasn't telling Yaakov Avinu about cooked food. Oh, give me this! I want to eat some of this. Yaakov didn't cook it. It was Yaakov was about to cook it. It was mamish the beginning of the process. But he said, I can't wait. I want it now. I want the finished food. So if that's shat, then it's very appropriate over here. Why we're saying, oh, that's why he's called Edom, because it's the same thing as why he's called Esav. Esav is a lashon of osu. He's already done. He doesn't want to develop. He doesn't want to cook. He doesn't want to change himself. He believes he is the way he is. Vezel. So the same thing with the lentils. He's saying, give me the red stuff. Give me it while it's still red. Don't bother cooking it. Don't wait. I can't wait for it to finish cooking it. I don't need it to develop more. Just give it to me right now. The way it is, that's the way it is. What you see is what you get. You know? I can't wait. You know? Instant lentils. That's the idea of Edom. I once heard a pshat from Rav Moshe Shapiro. I don't remember exactly how what he said. But I once heard a pshat from him that because the word if like the Bali Musar said that Esav is from like lashon of Osui, right? So but his name is not Osui, it's Esav, right? So there's a yud. Where's the yud? The yud is missing, right?
And there's a vase.
What?
And there's a vase.
No, there's no vase.
A vav. It's a vav.
Right. The Osui is spelled ayin sin vav yud.
Osui, yeah.
So if you just take out the yud, so you have Esav.
Right.
But where's the what happened to the yud? So Rav Moshe Shapiro set up Savart. I don't know exactly how it went, but set up Savart that when Yaakovinu was born, it says that Yaakovinu was holding onto the heel of Esav. So he wanted to say that like Yaakovinu grabbed onto the heel means he grabbed that yud. Yaakov was really like Yaakovinu's name that would be Akev, because he was holding onto the heel of Esav. Akev Kershva Yaakov, right? He should really be called Akev. But because he was holding on to like Esav, so he like grabbed onto his heel, and like, the heel's like the small one of the smallest parts of the body, so it's like a yud. So like, he grabbed the yud from Esav. So like that's where the yud went. It went to Yaakov. Oh, okay, this sounds funny, but like there's obviously he said some sort of significance to this vart. I'm missing the ikar and the kuda, but that's like something that he said. Fine, right there. Reb Eliezer Omer. Reb Eliezer says, Hadashim Michael Tzara Vo'evelhem. Lentils are a food of sorrow and mourning. Like the Gemara says that Babasat of Tazanim Ibiz, the Gemara says that there's a minhag that we're supposed to eat lentils by a velus because it's like a way of consoling mourners. You tell it because a lentil is like a round thing. You have it over there in the bottom, I think, no? He brings this down. Yeah, a lentil is a round thing, it's a remnant to the fact that there's like a circle of life, that things are going to, what comes around is going to go around, everything is going to be complete in the circle, so therefore we eat lentils by a velus to symbolize this idea of the circle of life. Like the Lion King, the circle of life,
mm-hmm.
Right? So, So lentils are food of sorrow and evil, of sorrow and mourning. Tedalocha, you should know that that's true. Oh, Stam, I forgot to mention that I'm pretty sure they did research. There's some sort of like marketing or promotional thing that we were doing research. Like, what color makes people hungry? You ever heard such a thing?
Yes, in one instance.
In one instance?
Chips.
What? Chips?
I saw a show on commercials.
Yeah, something like so that. So they decided that chips? Red makes people
red
hungry.
Bags of chips.
Dafka bags of chips?
Dafka bags of chips.
Uh-huh.
So that every bag of chips will have some red on it.
Right. So I think that maybe this has to do something with Yaakov and Esav. There's some weird shtick over here from Rav Chaim Falaji about, I don't know what he's talking about, but it has something to do with, like, it says the reason why people like to see fields that have green things in it is because their eye can't see that color, and therefore because they can't see it, so then they desire it, and that's why they want to look at it. Something like that. I don't know exactly what he's talking about. Al-Kopanim, fine. So it says that lentils are a food of sorrow and mourning. Tedalcha, you should know that that's true, because kishenereg hevel, hoya voice of eichlin al evloi, ma'achal adashem be'evel of etzara. When hevel was killed, so his forefathers, I don't know why it says forefathers, yeah. He only had one father.
He had one father.
Right.
Nobody else there.
Yeah, so his daddy was, I guess his father and his mother, right, Adam and Chava, were eating. While they were mourning for him, they were eating lentils from the Abel and the Tzara, out of the mourning and the Tzara of the distress. Now, if you look back in Perek, whatever Perek it was that we discussed, Hevel being killed, it doesn't say that that's what they did. So, just Stam Ha'ara. Where is it? Yeah, in the end of Perek Chaf Aleph, it doesn't say that that's what Adam Rishon did. It says, but it doesn't say that they ate lentils. Uchashidisraf Haran Bur Kazdim Hayuhariv Oichlin Al Evle Machal Adashim Be'evel Vitzara. And when Haran, right, the brother of Avram Avinu, when he was killed at the furnace, so his parents would. See, here it says Hayrav, it says his parents.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a mistake. Maybe it should say a voice of over here and Hayrav by Hevel. Maybe that makes more sense. Oichlin al Evloi, Ma'achal Adashim be'evel vitzara. They were eating during the morning, they were eating lentils out of the sorrow and the mourning. Right? The Radal points out an interesting thing, that there's a big difference between Hevel and Haran and everything else. Because we said before from the Gemara and Baba Basra that there's a minig that by all Avelim, by all cases of mourning, there's a minig that you eat Adashim. Right? Now, by Hevel and by Haran, it wasn't just a case of mourning. It was extra sorrow over there. Because both Hevel and Haran, not only were they killed, but they were killed in the lifetime of their fathers. So it's like it's an even worse tragedy. In fact, the Zohar even says that Haran was the first person to be killed in the lifetime of his father, I guess after Hevel. From Hevel to Haran. The only people so you said, well, you have to know when that happened. Vis-a-vis what it could be that Haran died early after Haran died, after Haran was already died. It's a whole cheshbon, you could discuss it, but it depends how old was Haran when he was killed. That's the shaila. Al-Kopanim, so the Radal says that that's in the double lashon here. It says Evel uvitzara, the sorrow and the mourning. It's two things. It's the fact that they were killed, and the fact that they were killed in the lifetime of their father. It's like an extra pain. It's extra sadness to the situation. And he wants to say that it argues with the Gemara. The Gemara says that all of Elim eat it. Okay, I'm not sure.
You want the Gemara? It's very nice.
No, I know the Gemara.
Okay, because I mean, okay.
Have it over here also. But for Yaakov, haya oichal ma'achal adashim be'evel v'tzara. So too, Yaakov Avinu was eating a food of lentils out of mourning and sorrow. So Rabbi Leomi Israel is going to explain that it's talking about the same. It's also talking about two things: mourning and sorrow. Al shahayis amalchus ushara u'bechara shel Esav. The first one is the sorrow that the malchus, the kingship, and the Shrara Ubachoya belonged to Esav. That Esav was going to be like the successor to Avram and Yitzchok, right? He was the apparent successor. So that was one thing that made the situation very sad. Okay, so who cares? Like, okay, but why all of a sudden today are you upset about it? So Rabbi Leo Meizer explains, because the Gemara says that on this day, it says that Esav did 5 horrible averus. Right, he did Eish Hashish, the Naimarasa, he did Ritzicha, he was Kefir Be'ikr, etc. Right, the Gemara says that. So Dafka today, that Esav did all these horrible affairs, now it makes it even more sad that he's the one who's going to be the successor, he's going to be the Bukhara, and he's doing these horrible affairs, so it's very sad. And Avram Avinu Zikena. And also, that day was the day that Avram Avinu died. So it was mourning as well. So it was mourning and sorrow. So because of these two reasons, these two sad things, therefore there's a reason that's the reason why Yaakov Avinu was eating lentils on that day when Esav came. But now the Medrash says parenthetically, V'Yisrael oichlin maichal adoshem be'evil v'tzara al evil pesamigdash v'al golos Yisrael. And the Medrash says parenthetically that's the minhag of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael also eats lentils out of sorrow and out of mourning for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and out of the sorrow of the bitterness of the exile that we're in. So those are the two reasons why we eat lentils. When do we have a minhag to eat lentils? So the Radal brings down that the Tur in Hilchos Tisha B'Av brings that there's a minhag that you have lentils by the Sudam of Sekhaz on Erev Tisha B'Av. That's what it's talking about. Mikan, okay, fine. One more line. The Midrash says, Mikan atalamed, from here you learn. I'm not sure exactly what this means, but it says, She'ein b'nei Esav neiflin achi yavoy sarid miyakov. The sons of Esav are not going to fall until the remnant of Jacob comes. V'yitein levnei Esav ma'achal adashim be'evel v'tzara. And he's going to give to the descendants of Esav lentils, which is the food of the food of lentils through or in a situation of mourning and sorrow. V'yikach mehem shoras malchus of v'chayra shekana Yaakov imena b'shvo. And that the remnant of Yaakov is going to take from the Bnei Esav the rulership and the b'chayra that Yaakov Avinu had already got from Esav with the oath. Shenemar says the pasuk v'emar Yaakov yishavali kayoyim v'yishavali. He swore to me today. Or like the day, meaning like the day that it's going to be forever, and he swore to him. So I don't know exactly what this means, but somehow like b'yimayis haMashiach, Esav is only going to fall when we give Esav some sort of lentils or something like that. Now, equally
very deep.
Yeah, equally perplexing is, as the Mefarshim over here mentioned, we sort of had a similar thing earlier in Perek Lamed Beis, and it's also going to appear again in Lamed Zayin. Where it said, "Mikana t'lomei she'en b'nei Esav neiflin ad she'yavei sarid me'achav v'katzeitz raglav shel Esav." The descendants of Esav are not going to fall until the remnant of Jacob comes and cuts off the feet of the people of Esav. Cuts off the feet of Esav. It says that earlier in Lamed Beis we had it, and later on we're going to have it in Lamed Zayin again. So I don't know what that means exactly, but it's some sort of prophecy about the end of days when Yimayis HaMashiach and the downfall of Esav. Okay, so that was, we were holding after Yaakov Avinu got the brachas from Yitzchak and ran away. But we backtracked and we spoke about the story of Yaakov Avinu getting the Bechira. Now, we're going to sort of continue with the backtracking and go to the next story in the Chumash and Parshas told us that after it talks about Yaakov Avinu getting the Bechira from Esav, so then it talks about Yitzchak having this whole affair with Avimelech and different wells that were being dug and whatever, and the Medrash is going to talk about that, and then it's going to go back to continue the story of Yaakov Avinu running away, and that's going to be like for the next few prokem following the life of Yaakov Avinu. Okay, so let's do this thing about the wells. This is also a very difficult passage over here in the Medrash, but we'll try to figure it out. Rabbi Akiva says, "Kol makom shehayu aviseinu halchim, any place where our forefathers would go." The well, that magical well, would walk in front of them. And you would dig 3 times, and then you would find that well in front of you. Okay. V'chofar Yitzhak ba'aretz shleisha pa'amim. Shleisha pa'amim or shleisha pa'amim. Yitzhak Avinu dug in the land 3 times. Umatza Ayisalafanov. And he found the well in front of him. Or Ayisalafanov. Shneemet says the puzzle. Ayoshev Yitzhak v'yachbar es be'irei samayim. Yitzhak returned and he dug up the wells of water. Now, please explain the next line. Chofar ba'aretz shnei pa'amim. He dug in the land twice. And he found that in front of him, Shneemar, Fayachbar Avde Yitzhak bar Nochal. And the servants of Yitzhak dug in the, what's it called, creek.
I have shalosh.
Oh, we're up the creek. You have shalosh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yesh Gersinan Shtey.
Oh.
But he remembers shalosh.
So, okay, so we just said he dug 3 times. So then we're saying, so your gear says, okay, this gear says that says, first he dug 3 times and he found it, and this is then he dug twice and he found it. Well, we just said it, if you dig 3 times, then you find it. So now we're saying twice and you find it? So there's something wrong over here. And if, according to your Gersa, then it's just repeating itself. If you dig 3 times, you find it. Because we find by Yitzhak, he dug 3 times and he found it. And we find by Yitzhak, he dug 3 times and he found it. You're saying it twice? So, I found in the Teresh Lema from Menachem Kasher, he brings the different Gersa from the Medrash HaGadol, which is a Medrash that was printed from a manuscript that they found in Teman, in Yemen, ascribed to a Rishon called Reb David HaAdani, that they say he wrote it. So it's called Medrash HaGadol. And also I found the same Gersa in a different sefer called Medrash Bereishis Zuta from Reb Shmuel Masnus, also around in that time. He lived in Syria, actually. Not Teman, but he lived in Syria. Different. They have a different Gersa of what's happening over here in the Medrash. They have a Gersa like this. That Avram Avinu dug 3 times. Avram Avinu dug 3 times, and then he found the bear. And then Yitzhak dug 4 times, and he found the bear. That's what it means. It means that you have to dig. I guess the pshat in the Medrash is like it's saying you have to dig at least 3 times before you find the bear. Avram Avinu dug 3 times, and then he found it. Yitzhak Avinu dug 4 times. I guess like the implication is that like Avram was like greater than Yitzhak, so after only 3 times he found it, but Yitzhak wasn't as great, so he had to do 4 times, something like that, and then he found the bear.
Actually, what is going on here?
I don't know.
Starting Rabbi Akiva Omer, Komakom Shayu Avosav Holchim, Haisa Aver, Hechalechet Lifneihem, the Chofrim Shalosh Pa'amim. What is the Chofrim Shalosh Pa'amim?
Okay, so the first time we'll see this again next week, but I think what it means is that you wherever you're going, so when you get there, you'll find the well and there's going to be water and it's going to be beseder. You're not going to go thirsty. So like the well would be there before them. It would go in front of them.
That's what it sounds like. Then
that's what it sounds like.
The chofrin shlosh pa'amim means what?
You would literally means you dig 3 times.
3 shovelfuls of sand, and then you would find the well.
Oh, I thought it would mean like 3 different places.
Oh, okay.
So you would dig here. Nope, there's no water under it. Right, because you try to dig a well. Meaning you find a random place in the ground. Mm-hmm. You start digging, and you hope that underneath that is going to be a well spring, and then there'll be water over there. But and you can dig, and there won't be anything in there.
But the rule here was this well be found after the third time.
Right.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know exactly. Well, we'll see if this is contradicted by the next line in the Medrash. But by the way, the manuscript that I was talking about, the Hager edition of Pirkei d'Eliezer, I said that it didn't have all this stuff from Tev Erech Apayim all the way till right here.
Until
this next line that I'm about to read. Uchsiv, it says in the Pasuk, B'Yerushalayim. See Yerushalayim, and it says about Yerushalayim in the pasuk, "Vaya bayay mahu yetsu mayim chayim Yerushalayim." It will be on that day that live water, meaning like a wellspring of water, is going to come out from Yerushalayim. This is a haftarah in Zechariah. It's a haftarah of, I believe, Shabbos, Chol Hamoed, Sukkos. I believe. I'm pretty sure. Maybe it's a different haftarah on Sukkos, but I'm pretty sure this is from Sukkos. No, it's not Shabbos, Chol Hamoed, Sukkos, because that's in Yechezkel. This has got to be... It's a Torah from Sukkot. I don't remember when on Sukkot. Akoponim, because it has to do with Mayim, whatever. The pasuk says that on the day the Mashiach comes, there's going to be a spring of water coming out of Yerushalayim. What is that talking about? He ha-be'er shasidah la'alayis b'Yerushalayim ha-hashash ha-kalsu v'v'isah. That is the wellspring that's going to come out of Yerushalayim and is going to quench all the people around Yerushalayim. So in the future, there's going to be some sort of body of water in Yerushalayim, and from that body of water, everyone's going to get their water in the area. Okay, I'm not sure what that means either. Now it gets to the interesting part. And because Yitzhak Avinu found, that's what it seems like it's saying, because Yitzhak Avinu found that well seven times, so he called the well seven. He gave that well a name and called it seven.
Could according to the Girsa of the Syrian,
yeah,
it was Abraham 3, Yitzhak 4. Could it mean seventh time?
He's saying
finding the well
on the seventh time.
I found it four times, Yitzhak, or whatever. Three times. Yitzhak found it four times, and on that time was the seventh time.
It could be that's what it means. I don't know.
They found it seven times.
I don't remember if they have this part of the Medrash. I think they only brought the first part back. It could be. Mm. I don't remember checking it out. But that actually makes a lot of sense what you're saying. And because Yitzhak found it on the seventh time, meaning if you include Avram and Yitzhak,
Karu Oisa Shiva.
Right. Karu Oisa.
I'm thinking because Shiva was, what's Shiva? Be'er.
Yeah.
Shiva.
They called it seven. Shiva says the puzzle.
Shiva is what Avraham called the well in Beersheba. And I always had this question, no, it's brilliant now because I was interested, because there's a pasuk that Yitzhak also called the well Beersheba.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering who called it Beersheba, Avram or Yitzhak. They both did. So that's what the...
Ba'ashem ha-be'er nikras ha'ir Beersheba ad hayom hazeh. Because of the well, the city is called Beersheba ad hayom hazeh until this day. So you bring...
That's a pasuk both by Avram and by Yitzhak.
Right.
Like that concept.
Yes. So one second. It's interesting that the Bible critics... So the Bible critics, this is one of their quote-unquote proofs that the Bible was written by different sources and was put together by an editor. So one source says Avram Avinu gave the etymology of the name Beersheba, called Avram, he gave it the name. And another source said that Yitzhak gave it that name. And whoever edited the Bible or whatever didn't realize that there's two different contradictory sources and didn't try to make them shtim b'chol. And they were left, these two sources were left in the Bible and that's the way it is. Hmm. They come from two different sources. That's what the Bible critics say. Now, the matter of the truth is that the Rishonim and the Acharonim, everyone discusses this issue. You know, first of all, it's ridiculous to say that whoever edited the final edition of the Bible was so stupid that he didn't realize that there's this contradiction.
He made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Look at Rashi, yeah. Rashi points out all the mistakes.
Right, exactly.
So whoever this guy was, you know...
So
P or whatever his name.
Yeah, P.
He had a lot of bad errors.
Right. So the Rishonim already discusses. There's at least like five answers to this question. The Radal over here brings one answer. One answer is that Avraham Avinu gave it the name, and then the name didn't really last. People didn't catch on. And then when Yitzhak had made the same treaty with Avimelech, so he gave it the name Beersheba, and then it like lasted. Oh, this is appropriate because Menashe is not here tonight because he's in Beersheba for Shabbos. that's one pshat. The Radal says the other Rishonim say this pshat also. The other pshat is that there were two cities named Beersheba. The Rashban that means the pasuk that sounds like there's a Beersheba in Yehuda and there's a Beersheba elsewhere also. So there's two places called Beersheba.
Yeah, because Yitzhak wasn't. I mean, that makes sense because Yitzhak wasn't near Beersheba. They were in Hebron when this happened when he made a treaty with.
It says Vayeshu Yitzhak Begrar. He went to Grar.
And the police team. So I don't know, but so perhaps Avraham.
I don't know. So they said that the name didn't catch on. Rishonim said this also, or there were two places called Beersheba, or one explanation that Rishonim say is that Avraham Avinu only gave the name Beersheba to the well, but Yitzhak Avinu gave the name to the city as well. And there's other pshatim that both of them gave it the name, that because of both of them. Okay, I know. The Rishonim all speak about this. What's another Nakuda that I want? Last Nakuda. Oh yeah, the Marzu points out that if you want to say that it's saying that. Yeah, okay, whatever. The Marzu points out that the two lines that we said before were sort of contradictory. That's a three or two times, or you had three and three times, which is redundant, not contradictory. The other kudos over here, it says that Yitzhak Avinu found it in the seven times. Because Yitzhak found the well seven times, so he called it seven. So where do we find that Yitzhak Avinu called it seven times? So the Bais HaGadol says the whole pshat over here. It says like this. Let's go through the psukim. The pasuk says, "Vayelech mishom Yitzhak vayichan manachal gror vayeshiv sham." Yitzhak went from there and he went to Nachal Gror and he settled in Nachal Gror. And then it says that he went and he dug the wells. Vayachmer after Yitzhak banochal. The servants of Yitzhak dug in the Nachal Gror. Where's the sham be'er mayim chaim? And they found the be'er mayim chaim. So that's one well that Yitzhak's servants found called Nachal, right? Nachal Gror. Then it says that they fought by Yerivu. The shepherds of Yitzhak fought with the shepherds of Gror, and the shepherds of Gror said, "No, really, the water belongs to us." So Yitzhak made another well, and they called it Asik, because Asik means a fight, because there was a fight there. So that's the second well. Then they made another well, and they also fought about that. So they called it Sitna, which means the adversary. So the third well is called adversary. Then there's a fourth well. Vayatek Misha, Yitzhak left from there, Vayachbar Be'acheres, and he dug another well. Veloira Vola, they didn't fight about that one. He called it Rechoivos. Right, fine, that's the fourth well. And then the fifth well, Vayal Misham Be'er-Shava, he went to Be'er-Shava. And then it says that, basically it says that he built another well over there.
It does?
Yeah.
It's already Be'er-Shava.
1 second. Because it says, So they told him about another one. And he called it Shiva. Seven. Right? That's the fifth one. The fifth one of Yaakov, right? He had Nachal Gror, Asek, Sitna, Rechoivos, and now Be'er Sheva. So that's Yaakov Avinu's fifth well. I'm sorry, not Yaakov, Yitzhak's fifth well. And then the Bais HaGadol adds, and then we find one more well by Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu is going to find the well again in Haran. And he says, one more time, Klal Yisrael has it in the Midbar. So that's six, and that's seven. Right, six is Yaakov, and seven is Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. So therefore you see that this well was found seven times. And because altogether in history it was found seven times, Yitzhak here calls it Shiva. He calls it seven. That's what the Bais HaGadol says. I had a ha'ara, because really Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar had two Be'eris. One Parashas Bishalach.
Who?
Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar.
Oh, in the Midbar.
Right? He's counting five of Yitzchak, one of Yaakov, which we're going to speak about in the next parak, and then one of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. So that's altogether seven. Right? But really, there was two in the Midbar. One in Parshas Bishalach, and one in Parshas Chukas.
How about Avraham Avinu? What about Avraham Avinu?
He's not including Avraham Avinu for some reason, the Bais HaGadol.
Maybe because, I don't know. Maybe. He was the Yeshev Yitzchak v'yachfru et be'eros ha'mayim asher chafru b'mei Avraham. Maybe he's counting.
He's just digging up Avraham, what Avraham did, so it's like, yeah, it's like doesn't count separately. It could be. It could be, I don't know. But the point is that, so I have a ha'ara on the Bais HaGadol. He's counting one that they did in the Midbar, but really there were two in the Midbar. Parshas Mishalach and Parshas Chukas. So on, and so there are Rishonim that say that the story of Mishalach and the story of Chukas is really talking about one story. In Bishalach, where they had the Be'er that gave them water, right? B'schus Miriam, let's say, whatever. Okay, I don't know if it's B'schus Miriam, but... Because that's what Chazal said. It was B'schus Miriam. Then when Miriam died, then it went away. And then Moshe Rabbeinu had the story where he hit the rock, and the rock gave water. But he hit the rock because it was a punishment, and he was supposed to hit the rock. But the Rabbeinu Yosef B'chor Shor, one of the Rishonim, he says that the two stories is really one story. In Bishalach, the Torah wasn't focusing on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong by hitting the rock, because it wasn't relevant at that point in the Chumash. And in Parshas Chukas, it focuses on the fact that he did something wrong by hitting the rock. But it's really the same story. Okay. Fine, so we'll stop over here. Alright, call two. Shit.